Baker Mayfield. Man, what a freaking ending. What a freaking game. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I am Will Brinson. I am your host. I am joined by John Breach to break down the Browns and Jets game. And we will be joined later. This is a huge podcast. I mean, like, loaded to the gills, packed to the brims. It's really, really long. Just deal with it, you know, whatever. Executive decision to pack everything in at once. I want to talk to RJ White and Pete Prisco. RJ's from sportsline.com. He gets white hot on his picks. Prisco, of course, actually had the Browns in his super contest pick tonight. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, thanks to Baker Mayfield's crazy comeback. And then Nick Kostos and I are going to break down every single game from a DFS gambling and fantasy perspective. So this is a loaded podcast to get you ready for the weekend, to get you, like, I loved my favorite thing, John. And by the way, you can follow John Breach at John Breach on Twitter. He did a great job live blogging Baker Mayfield's game. My favorite thing on Friday is to sit around and sip beer and set my DFS lineup. So hopefully this helps everyone. But first, we got to get to the news. Tyrod Taylor concussed. The Browns are getting run out of town. First Energy Stadium is dead. Is it First Energy Stadium or whatever the Browns Stadium is? It's just dead. I mean, it's like you could hear a pin drop in there. And the Jets are looking pretty good. Isaiah Crowell is running the ball well. The Jets defense is swarming it. And they have to bring in Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick. The fans have been chanting for him all night long. They bring him in, and he leads them on an incredible comeback that the Browns end up winning 21-17, covering, winning for the first time in 635 days. John, what's your reaction to what we just saw?
Well, first, Brinson, let me say that I love your celebrating their first win in 635 days with a 635-minute podcast. You know, that brilliant. You tied it all together. I think the listeners are going to love that. My thought on this game is the same one I have had the last two games, and it is, how does Hugh Jackson have a job? And, you know, it's a weird thing to think after a win, but you sit there and you watch a totally inept offense for nearly the first half. Baker Mayfield only played the final 2 minutes, and then the Browns offense just caught fire, and I was watching it the whole time. In my head, I'm thinking, my God, they could have beaten the Steelers by 3 touchdowns if this guy was their quarterback. They would have crushed the Saints. Zane Gonzalez would still have a job because they wouldn't have been coming down to field goals in their opening 2 games. The whole world would be on end. So it was just, I mean, Baker Mayfield, that was Van Gogh of rookie performances.
It really was, and it's crazy. So, like, I've mentioned this on the podcast months ago in the offseason. I am holding a 14-1 Sam Darnold Rookie of the Year ticket. I might as well burn that thing to the ground. It's worthless now. Baker Mayfield, Hugh Jackson said, look, there's a lot to unpack to this, but I'm going to try and hit everything as we go through it. Hugh Jackson said after the game, that Baker, he's going to review the tape and see who his starter is. Get out, Hugh. Your starter is Baker Mayfield. You will be publicly executed in Cleveland if you try to go back to Tyrod Taylor. The only reason that Tyrod Taylor would start Week 4, John, is if John Dorsey wants to fire Hugh Jackson and makes him start Tyrod Taylor so he can fire Hugh Jackson. Baker Mayfield did so much for that offense. It almost like opened it up in a weird way. He ended up finishing the night pretty good fantasy night, honestly. No touchdown passes, but he threw down to the one twice, and Carlos Hyde punched it in. 17 of 23 for 201 yards, and he was victimized by, I think, by my count, 4 horrible drops by his wide receivers. He just spins the ball. The ball comes out of his hand fast. He's got the velocity and the touch, and he moves around. He's not scared. He's poised. He looks completely comfortable out there, and you don't want to rush to conclusions because Sam Darnold looked perfectly comfortable after throwing a pick 6 in his first game, but there is no reason you should start anyone other than Baker Mayfield moving forward.
Yeah, let's not forget, Tyrod Taylor played near the first half. He went 4 of 14 for 19 yards. Baker Mayfield had the 19 yards beat after 2 throws. It took him 2 throws to beat Tyrod Taylor's numbers. I mean, it was just the offense was so efficient with him in there. You talk about those 4 drops. By my count, I think Mayfield would have gone 21 of 23 for about 270 yards.
And probably a pair of touchdowns too.
Right. If the drops aren't there, which that's insane numbers for anyone, let alone your first start ever coming off the bench. You know, who throws for 270 yards and 2 touchdowns when they don't even have a whole game under their belt? And, you know, what do you think Jarvis Landry and Antonio Callaway and the rest of those receivers are thinking right now? Like, they probably want to fire Hugh Jackson. How would you not play this guy the entire season? My mind, I'm just is blown away right now that this guy was on their bench for the 10 quarters.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, Hugh Jackson is going to get a pass because they won. Like, ironically, Baker Mayfield is saving his job, even though Hugh Jackson wasn't smart enough to start Baker Mayfield in the first place. And I think part of that might have been on John Dorsey. Like, I think John Dorsey probably wanted Tyrod Taylor out there. Veteran, you spent a third-round pick on him. It makes sense. But Baker's the guy. I mean, he gives that team energy. He reminds me of Russell Wilson with a little bit of Deshaun Watson. That's – and, it, like, not just – not, like, combine everything, but just the – the cool, calm, collected nature of Russell Wilson, the ability to throw on the run that Russell possesses, but also sort of that, I mean, he has that it factor. And it, like, you could see it. Like, he, I mean, he just exudes confidence. I thought, and these are two kind of silly things, John, but I thought that his interview with NFL Network after the game, he gets up there and they're like, "Oh, Baker! Like, oh my God!" Colleen Wolf, I love Colleen Wolf. But she's like, "What? You like? What are you? Where's your head at?" Michael Irvin's losing his mind. Reggie Bush is geeking out. Joe Thomas is like giggling and stuff. And like, and Baker's like, "You know, it's a good win. Like, we thought, you know, got it. Just got in there, have mindset to make plays, do what you need to do," and answered it as if he'd been playing in the NFL for 25 years. And then the other thing. He's in the middle of this. They're giving him T-shirts, and they're bringing out a giant, like, 600, like, a big cake for him to cut and all this stuff. He's like, "Oh, hold on. I want to give a shout-out to my boy, Carlos Hyde. It's his birthday, and he's also, you know, he's got a child on the way. He's going to the hospital right now to do it." Like, that's not that – a lot of people would have the sense to do it, but Baker Mayfield clearly is just unfazed by all this. Like, that stands out to me in a big way.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Carlos Hyde, because that situation was totally crazy.
We both benched him in fantasy.
Bench him in fantasy, we both did. We're both just that's a lot of points that we left on the table. 98 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Like, the guy almost wasn't at the beginning of the game because his wife is expecting a baby. The baby's not coming, so he rushes to the stadium. The baby didn't come during the game. That poor kid had a chance to witness be alive for like 10 minutes and see the Browns' first win. And yet fans have been alive for 2 years and haven't seen a win. But, you know, after he scored him his touchdowns, he cradled the baby.
Yeah,
so this is the one thing I think the Baker Mayfield win is going to overshadow our two celebrations. We saw the cradle of the baby, and then we saw Isaiah
Crowell. Oh, my God. He wiped his bottom, as we say at the Brinson household. He wiped his bottom with the football. Isaiah Crowell, the former Browns running back, bends over, takes the football, wipes his bottom, and then turns around and wings the football into the Browns fans. It clearly is a way of saying, like, "I hate you, Cleveland. Go away." By the way, Mayfield, so he came in and late in the second quarter, and he leads the Browns on 6-play, 39-yard drive for a field goal. Second half, he comes in. Leads them 4 plays, 0 yards for a field goal. That was a great stand by the Jets defense. And the Jets defense is going to get lost in all this. And then the next play, 7 plays, 69 yards, 2 minutes and 49 seconds to tie the game. And on that play, Baker catches a 2-point conversion pass. They ran the Philly special, the play that the Eagles ran in the Super Bowl. He admitted afterwards in his interview that it was called the Philly special within the Browns playbook. You know, the Jets go down and get a field goal to take the lead again, 17-14. I think the Jets should have gone for it there. They made a big mistake given how Baker Mayfield was playing against their defense. And then, of course, Baker goes right back down. 15 plays, 75 yards, 6 minutes, 52 seconds, 21-17 lead that holds up. And I think, John, when you're looking at this Browns team, I mean, this is putting the cart before the horse a little bit. But if Baker can get this offense inspired and cranked up and get it going like it was in the second half, and Todd Haley's dialed in and he's making these throws, this is the team that can make a playoff run, because they should be 3-0. They played really well against Pittsburgh. They had Pittsburgh dead to rights, and they just made some boneheaded mistakes and some offensive mistakes. They had the Saints dead and buried, and they just gagged it up. And then they took care of the Browns. Like, I feel like the moxie that Baker has and the ability to win late in games, like, they can make a run, but if they miss the playoffs, it might be because of those first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's an absolute possibility. And then you look at their schedule, and it's like they have 10 days off before they play the Raiders. Then they have the Ravens, the Chargers. I mean, every game seems somewhat winnable. I don't really look at their schedule and say, oh, they're going to get smoked in that game. You know, there's no Jacksonville on their schedule. There's no New England. Every game, especially we already saw them play with two quote-unquote playoff contenders with the Saints and the Steelers. So it's like, who on their schedule can't they give a good game? Maybe the Chiefs are the only one I could see smoking them, but
the Chiefs. So I mean, so you're right. Look, they have the Ravens at home, the Chargers at the Raiders in 10 days. Ravens at home, Chargers at home. Those are two tough defenses, but I mean, so the Jets are pretty good defense. At the Buccaneers, at the Steelers, Chiefs at home, Falcons at home, and then they're bye. I mean, like those teams are all banged up or bad defenses. They can win these games, and they might, like, all of a sudden the Browns are gonna be fun to watch. Like, if we this NFL season is going to be fun as hell if we elevate the Browns into fun-to-watch territory and Baker Mayfield is leading drives like this and doing so much, doing all this stuff. What is amazing to me, too, is that it looked like the story of this game was going to – it told Tyrod Taylor's concussed, because who knows how long they leave Tyrod Taylor in there. The story of this game was going to be Jets waltz in and mop up the floor with sad sack Browns on Thursday night, with the Cleveland fans trying to shake these beer fridges open like they're frothing at the mouth. They're catching possums in the stadium. Everything's going crazy. And then it just flipped, and we're not talking about the Jets at all. And that's probably fine for the Jets, because the story is Baker Mayfield, and that's better for them.
Yeah, and you mentioned all that, and it did. It felt like in the first half the locusts were coming, and it felt like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It felt like just the Browns were just crashing and burning. Hugh Jackson was going to get fired in the third quarter. Nothing was going their way, and somehow an injury ended up working out in their favor, which is just, you know, it's the Hugh Jackson story of coaching. He just kind of fell forward. This thing fell in his lap, and, you know, now he, like you said, Baker Mayfield just bought him some more time. Because there's no way they're going to fire Hugh Jackson. I mean, obviously, the good part is I love that everyone in Cleveland is getting free beer out of this.
Yes, indeed. All the Bud Light fridges. That's great news for them.
Hey, we love free beer. Even if the beer is 37 days old, it's still drinkable, right?
Yeah, 37 days old. Bud Light's drinkable up to 37 months old.
I just drank a beer that was 9 months old last night, so I can attest that all these people are going to live through this.
Yeah, I think that they're going to survive. All right, anything else? On the Jets, I mean, like, I thought the Jets played a good game. That's their third game in 11 days. That's a brutal setup for them. It's tough to do. Now they're 1-2, and it's hard to not like the Jets can't win, but I don't know. It's just, it feels like this sucks the life out of a little bit out of what the Jets had accomplished by going to Detroit and stomping the Lions, right? I mean, like, it feels like. You know that Mr. Krabs gif that I always talk about from SpongeBob? Like, that's how you feel. Like, they cut to Sam Darnold, and he's spinning on the sideline. Like, he's just like, what is happening? How did we get here? I don't know. I mean, I think it's – and I should point out that Lewis Keefe, who's a listener, this tells you where Jets fans are. He sent me an email about shortly before midnight, right before we started recording. He was like, I bet you're recording the pod. However, I would like to point out, you know, it's like, you know, Jets, it's like Baker looked great and changed everything. And as a Jets fan, it sucks. But, you know, if you end up going 5-11 back-to-back seasons and the fans want to fire everybody, it doesn't make sense. Like, this shouldn't be and I agree with Lewis, like, this shouldn't be an inflection point where you say, we got to fire Todd Haley. The Jets are playing above where they should be playing, I think, and play. Todd Bowles. Yeah, thank you. It's not time to fire Todd Bowles. It's time to say, hey, look, this team's playing pretty well given the circumstances, given what they've had to deal with, given that they're dealing with a rookie quarterback, all of that. I do think, though, that, like, Sam Darnold has, you know, the last two games have not been very good for Sam Darnold. I mean, I would much rather be holding a Baker Mayfield Rookie of the Year ticket than a Sam Darnold Rookie of the Year ticket.
Well, and I think that's the thing with the Jets is we don't really know how good they are. I mean, the Lions didn't look good in San Francisco. Sure, they scored a couple garbage time touchdowns late in the fourth quarter to make it a close game, but the Lions have been atrocious. The Jets were absolutely horrible against the Dolphins. You know, that the offense was just dead. We saw one good half here against the Browns. And then you look next week, they have to play at Jacksonville. That's screaming a 1-3 start to me. Then you're looking at games against the Broncos, the Colts, and the Vikings. I think they're lucky if they win one of their next four.
Yeah.
You know? And so best case scenario, you're sitting at 2-5, could be 2-6 at the halfway point of the season. So, you know, they were so promising on Monday Night Football. Now it's like, oh, this jet is crashing. And they're going to be lucky to get the 6 wins.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right. We're going to get out of here, Breach. We're going to go talk to RJ White and Pete Prisco and break down every single game on the Super Contest. And you can check out RJ's picks. He went, I think, 9-3-2 against the spread in week one. Week two was a little rough for everybody, but RJ cashed in the Super Contest last year, tying for 18th out of 2,748 contestants, 52-29-4. I can attest that when RJ gets hot, he gets nuclear. He went 94-68-8 on his against the spread picks last season, returning $1,856 to a $100 player. You want to follow RJ and you want to get his picks, and you can get his picks by going to sportsline.com, available to all Sportsline members. And right now, courtesy of this podcast, you can get a first month at Sportsline for $1. You get all RJ's picks for $1. You can make it all back times 1,000. Enter the promo code WHITE. Unless you like me better, then you can enter the promo code WILL. But enter promo code WHITE because you want to check out RJ's picks. Let's go talk to RJ and Pete. Thanks, Breacher.
Of course. Gotta go drink my Bud Light in Cleveland.
Right now, joining me from the off-the-bench room with pictures of Rajah Bell and Danny Cannell jerseys. You know Danny Cannell was Pete Prisco's favorite Giants quarterback growing up? Did you know that?
No, he wasn't. He was still, I think he was still unborn when I was root for the Giants back in the day.
Pete Prisco, that's Pete.
Fran Tarkenton, baby.
Pete at Prisco CBS on Twitter, and also joining us in the room with Pete, RJ White at RJ White 1 on Twitter. What's up, buddy?
Let's talk about how crappy we all did in the Super Contest.
You just want to point out that I went 0-5.
No, we me and RJ were not much better.
Yeah, I did too. I went 2-3.
So did I.
Which feels bad. But the average score was 1.93, so 2-3 is actually a little bit better than average.
And I went 2-3, too.
The okay. Super Contest consensus, the top 5 picks, 0-5. It was a terrible week for everyone.
Well, let me ask you this, then, and Pete, you first. Why did we spend all week long talking about how we're like, this is an obvious, like, go the other way. It's an obvious contrarian week. It's an overreaction week, and then we all failed to recognize it when we made our picks. How?
I recognize some of it. What I did is I would have lost anyways, but I had Seattle in, and then when all the injuries, they weren't playing, I pulled them out and put Washington in, which was a dumb pick. So, you know, look, 2-3, I had the Browns winner. I took the Cardinals like a moron.
And it's not like all the overreaction plays were bad. You know, Washington got pushed up higher than they should have been against the Colts. And that was a pick I liked. Detroit was 6 points, a dog to San Fran. After opening or being 3 on the look ahead, so that was a good one. Some of the overreactions that I played, I was taking the favorites because I thought it was overreaction on the dogs, like KC against Pittsburgh and Tampa, and of course those didn't pay off. But I think that's still a smart strategy to play. It just didn't come through on all of them.
The Pittsburgh thing is just I'm irate about that. Like it was too odd. Like too many people were on Pittsburgh, and I liked Kansas City from the get go, and I didn't listen to my brain. That's fine. I'll be back this week. Not going anywhere.
You can't go. I have nowhere to go but up after last week, dude.
Hey, 5-0, and it'll race it. That's fine. I'm going to go first. I'm going to go to Philadelphia, where I like a dog here. The Eagles are -6.5 against the Colts. I think you talk about that Washington game, and if you watch what the Colts did, I'm floored by how good the Colts' defense looks. Like, and I don't think it's going to be a situation where they're dominant or they're great for the full season, but they got guys that are hustling. Matt Eberflus. Is it Eberflus? Eberflus? How do you say it, Pete? You're the pronunciation guy. Did I get it right the first time?
Eberflus.
Matt Eberflus' defense is playing really well. Marcus Hunt is out there. Darius Leonard. That is right. The rookie.
That is. He's fantastic.
He really is. He's hustling. Second round pick out of San Diego or South Carolina State, making a bunch of plays all over the place. Had the Redskins were in the red zone. He made 3 straight plays to force them into a long field goal. And I think that the Colts defense against a banged up Philly offense can hold Carson Wentz, who's coming in for first game off the ACL. People are going to be liking the Eagles. I like the Colts a lot here. I'm pretty sure they are going to be a play for me, Pete.
I like the other side. I'll be honest with you. I don't love it, but I do love it. I think this game is a little bit of back-to-back road games for the Colts. I like the Eagles. I think they're going to get right today this week.
I think the Friday injury report is going to be key in this game because there's a lot of people hurt on both sides on offense, and who's available I think is going to be key because
– Well, Carson Wentz is available.
Carson Wentz is available 100% or no? Probably not.
They would have played him.
Better than Nick Foles at whatever percentage.
Yeah, he could be 33% better than Nick Foles.
Yeah, I would lean Indy because I just like the points in the game. I think the defenses could dominate and be a low-scoring game because of all the injuries, but I probably won't play it. It's on my like marginal list.
I like it. I like the Eagles a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to go Carolina at Cincy. Carolina's 3-point favorites. I lean Cincy here. I think Cincy's look great. They're coming off the long rest, obviously, so that's going to help. I'm worried a bit that we get a bit of a letdown game from them because, you know, huge win, divisional, Ravens. Maybe they don't take this one as seriously. But the Panthers' O-line's decimated. You know, you still got Trey Turner out with a concussion. Both tackles still hurt. Bengals have the pass rush to exploit that. Make sure Cam's never comfortable. Just hit him over and over and over. And the back seven can handle the Panthers' weapons, I think. The Panthers don't really have a diverse group of weapons. The Bengals actually do. Tyler Boyd's looking good. I think you can get Eifert involved in this game because the Panthers have issues covering a full offense like that. They didn't have a problem against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys don't have many players that are going to threaten you in the passing game. But the Falcons threw TDs to Calvin Ridley, to Austin Hooper, to everybody was getting involved. Dante Jackson, the rookie for Carolina, he's had issues. He might not play. That puts Corn Elder in the lineup out of Nebraska, I think. And
Miami.
Or Miami. Well, Corn.
Corn is the Corn is in Nebraska.
He went Corn from Nebraska. I like it, RJ.
I was wondering to see if you catch that. So, yeah, I think that's a matchup the Bengals are going to exploit. I think they're going to score a lot of points in this game, and the defense is going to hold up their end of the bargain. So I think Cincy wins this game outright, even though they're coming off a potential letdown spot.
I'm with you on that one. I kind of like the Bengals a little bit, too. Because I think their pass rush is going to get after it against that offensive line. So I don't love it, but I lean to the Bengals as well.
Billy Price isn't practicing, might not play. Joe Mixon isn't going to play. Giovanni Bernard stepping in. He was back at full practice with a knee injury on Thursday, so he'll probably play. Preston Brown is limited. Tyler Eifert is at full practice, but he has a back injury. The Bengals are a little banged up, too. I'm not going to take the Panthers -3 because I think that's begging for – best case scenario, you walk out of there with a half a point. I think that Carolina's defense steps up and responds here, though. I think that Carolina is going to be an up and down team all year, and they had a terrible game against the Falcons defensively. I think they actually bounce back in a big way. Sometimes you gotta worry with the overreaction a little bit, guys. You know what I'm saying? The overreaction to the Bengals. Like, people are going to overreact, Pete, to the Jaguars beating the Patriots.
By the way, that's a pom-pom waving pick by there, right there. Oh, my Panthers. Woo-wee.
I don't care about the Panthers.
It's time for you to get your pom-poms out for Jaguars.
Yeah. No, I don't. I can care either way. I just, look, the bottom line.
Please.
You know why it's good for me?
Jaguars.
They keep playing in the January that
you're
I do
Jaguars,
more radio shows.
You're a Jaguars employee. You get paid by, you're in the Jaguars pocket.
No, I don't. I work for the radio station. Jaguars -9.5 to the Titans. That is a lot of lumber to be laying to a team you didn't beat since, 2016. They didn't beat them twice. But week 17 last year was a layup for the Titans. The Jaguars didn't need it. They played, but they really didn't play. There was no emotion there. If it wasn't the Titans and it was another team coming in as a 9.5-point favorite or dog, I would say I'd probably lean to the dog. But because it's the Titans, the Jaguars are going to be focused. I'm going to lay the points. I think the Jaguars will shut them down. The injuries on the Titans are just really, really severe. Although Taylor Lewan will be back this week still. Even so, I think the Jaguars -9.5 is the play. I don't love it, but that's who I would pick.
And I think this play in the contest is indicative of them thinking Blaine Gabbert's going to start again. Because I think if Marcus Mariota was in, you'd have to throw a few more points the Titans' way. Maybe make it 6.5, 7-point game. So if you do like the Titans in this spot, and you think Mariota is going to play, I think that's one reason to back them. This is probably going to be a stay away for me, though.
Yeah, I'm not touching it either. Although I don't know that we learned that the line is necessarily indicative of what they think is going to happen. Remember last week we got +7 for the Packers, and we all walked away from Green Bay getting 7 out of fear that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't play, and Green Bay tied the game outright. So I think there's a lesson there in terms of what lesson they're actually teaching us. By the way, Derrick Henry on the Wednesday injury report, don't like seeing that at all. I will be buying some Deion Lewis shares this week. Pete, you've also got Falcons Saints. What about that?
Yeah, I can't wait for this game. These are the kind of games, and back in the day when I used to go to those games and cover them, it was the city was run over by – if it was in Atlanta, it was run over by Saints fans. If it was in New Orleans, it was run over by Falcons fans, and they get after it. I mean, they really do. I think the Falcons found something last week in the red zone, and obviously they were much better. But getting Ridley going will help actually open up Julio Jones in the red zone. The Saints defense, week one, they were awful. Week two, they were better. Week one, the offense was good. Week two, the offense wasn't as good. I'm concerned about the Saints. I like the Falcons minus the three.
I think the Saints' offense could look better against this Atlanta D that's really banged up, missing those key players. Now they're having some offensive line issues with Levitre out, and the depth guard is also banged up. So I would lean New Orleans. If I played in the contest, I'm probably going New Orleans plus the three, just because this matchup, it's kind of anything goes in this matchup.
It looks funny. The line looks funny, too.
Not really. It's
not for this divisional matchup.
I figured it would be like Falcons 4 or 5.
Yeah, Atlanta's probably the stronger team, but I think throw what you've seen so far when these two get together, because you could really get any game. So basically, anytime these two teams are playing, I'm probably taking the points either way.
I would also point out too that last year the Saints were coming into week three on the road against Carolina, a good looking Panthers team defensively, especially, and they were 0-2, had gotten throttled by the Vikings and Patriots at once on the road and once at home, and they absolutely manhandled the Panthers. So I think there's probably a little bit of desperation. I know the Saints are 1-1 this year, and that's different, but they almost lost to the freaking Browns. I think you see a desperate, angry Saints team. I really like the Saints plus three here, and I think it will be one of my Super Contest picks.
Good. I'm glad it is.
I bet you are. I don't know if the Ravens minus 5.5 are going to be a Super Contest pick, although it is absolutely a lean for me because I like Baltimore. I like Baltimore coming into the year, and I think that the Broncos are probably a bit overvalued at this point, given that they barely beat Seattle, who hasn't looked great, and they barely beat Oakland. They should have lost to Oakland. That's an inexplicable loss by the Raiders. They barely beat two bad teams, and we're sort of trumpeting them up as this 2-0 squad that I'm not sure RJ is necessarily that great. I'm leaning Ravens as a pick here.
And I don't think they're getting that much credit, because at 5.5, you know, if people were really crediting them a lot for those wins, you'd probably see this game at 3. So I don't think that there's that much value in the line. I would also lean Baltimore. They're a very good home team. Case Keenum hasn't looked great. Now he's dealing with a knee issue. The thing that really got me was how bad the pass defense looked against the Raiders. I mean, Derek Carr did whatever he wanted to them, and they didn't put the points on the board. The Raiders didn't, and they let him back into the game late. But if that's the pass defense we're going to see for Denver this year, they're going to lose some games they should win.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's the Ravens or nothing. I'd lay the points in this. I'm disappointed in Case Keenum so far. I'll be honest with you. I expected more from him. He's been inconsistent. Did some good things, but been woefully inconsistent. The Ravens at home, like you said, I think their defense will get the best of it here. I'd lay the points. I don't love the game, though.
If another game. Oh, sorry.
Ready to move on?
Well, I was just going to ask if Case Keenum. I wonder when we'll know. I mean, he's going to play, right? Case Keenum's going to play, right?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be limited at practice Thursday. There was really no danger of him missing the game at this point.
All right. Another game, as you were saying.
Yeah, another game I like laying the points is Houston. They're a 6.5-point favorites against the Giants. They haven't looked great so far, so I'm sure not a lot of people want to get on them laying nearly a touchdown. But now they get to play at home, and they've been a better-than-average home field edge over the last few years. The Giants don't have the pass rush to exploit that Texans' weakness on the offensive line. So the Texans are playing a better team where you know Deshaun Watson's going to get knocked around a bit and have to move around. That's a concern. I don't know that we're going to see that against the Giants, especially with Vernon still out. The Giants don't have the secondary to keep the Texans pass catchers quiet, like over the long term. Maybe you can get a few plays here and there on Hopkins and Fuller, but somebody's going to break some big plays at some point. I think the Texans are going to score in this game. I don't think Giants have what it takes to keep up. Beckham can win matchups against a secondary. Houston doesn't have a great secondary, but the Houston pass rush, on the other hand, can get to the quarterback, get to Eli when the offensive line is breaking down, because the offensive line hasn't, for all the acquisitions they've made in the offseason, that offensive line is.
That pass rush hasn't been very good for the Texans either.
No, I think, but in this matchup, I like them because the offensive line's been so bad. I think they're going to have a much better, easier time this way. And then the Texans' run game has been very effective this year. Lamar Miller's looked great. Alfred Blue's got involved, and he's looked pretty solid. And so when you're in the second half and you're trying to salt away the game and get first downs, I think those guys can take over and do it for you. So I think the Texans get out to a first half lead. I don't think they'll let the Giants back into the game in the second half in the cover.
Yeah, I don't love this game either way, but I would lean to the Giants with the points only because I don't think the Texans are very good, to be honest with you. And I worry about the offensive line. I know the Giants don't have great pass rush, but that offensive line is awful. And they haven't rushed the passer very well either. That's a concern. Giants playing back-to-back road games, I hate that. So I'd probably stay away, but if I had to lean one way or the other, I'd take the Giants.
I cannot possibly take the Giants after they kicked me in the junk over and over again on Sunday night. 0-4 heading into that night game, had the Giants plus 3 as my pick that I touted all week, and they laid an absolute egg. Now, I do think there is a bit of – you think that overreaction might be built into that a little bit, but I think because the Texans are 0-2, you know, there's not as much there. And I ranked the 0-2 teams for CBSSports.com, as I mentioned, and we did it on the podcast with John Breach yesterday. And I think one of the things you should look at with Houston, they lost in New England, and you know, then they lose to Tennessee. I mean, they've had I think Tennessee's better than people think. They've had a tough start, and I could see a bounce-back game coming against a very, very wounded Giants team here. I also think that Pete's got the Dolphins and Raiders. Sorry, I messed that one up.
Yeah, this one's easy for me. I see a bad football team playing consecutive road games, and this one's after a division game, long trip, hot day, bad defense. And Miami looks good. I watched them on tape today. I like what I've seen from them. They're competing on defense. They're going to get better as the year goes on defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick, by the way, will be a star in the NFL. Their down linemen have been dominant at times. I think they get after the quarterback in this one, and this is easy. I like Miami. In fact, I love Miami in this game.
This line doesn't really make sense to me. The look ahead was -4. It's dropped to -3. But what did you see in week 2 that made you think that you should move the game toward Oakland? So I'm with you on this. This seems like a slam dunk pick. I don't understand why the line is
-3. Or something here. We're getting hooked.
So this might get on my card. I have it in my second tier just because I haven't figured out why they put the line where it is. And if I can't figure it out, maybe I scare myself into not putting it in the contest. But I think everyone's going to be on it in the contest. And I think probably easily going to be a consensus top 5 pick.
Hey, is there any chance, Pete, that John Gruden is still a good coach? And by, I mean, like, I don't mean to imply that he's a bad coach, but he's now covered the first half of these lines, first half of these games 2 weeks in a row, and his team has looked good out of the gates. I mean, are we underrating John Gruden because of all the, like, we need a pass rusher stuff that he
says? Well, no, I think he can still coach. My concern isn't John Gruden coach, it's John Gruden personnel man.
Sure.
I mean, you trade away Khalil Mack, but there's other issues, and you know, he's basically going to be running the show. I know they say McKenzie is, but he's John Gruden's running the show. So that's the concern. I think he can still coach. It's just football. He's been around the game. It hasn't changed that much. It's just football.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, like, and I think Adam Gase is good, but are we sort of like, you're like, well, the Dolphins are -3. The Dolphins look great and they're undefeated and the Raiders are 0-2 and they've looked like crap. Is it possible that Gruden keeps his guys motivated to try and go get that win and comes
in? Well, they'll be motivated. It's just that they'll wilt in the heat. I think it's going to be a major problem for them. It's, okay. I'll tell you what, and RJ knows, it's been hot around here lately.
It's awful, yeah.
Oh, get out of here. I haven't had AC for a week. Finally got fixed today. Excited about it.
Congratulations.
No, great for you.
Good for you. You guys are really happy for me, huh? You know who I like is the I kind of want to make him a super contest pick. The Washington Redskins at home against the Packers. The Washington Redskins are catching points because Aaron Rodgers is coming to town and people saw the Redskins get blasted by the Colts at home and think that the Packers will do the same thing. I think this is a classic overreaction play. I don't think the Packers' defense is that good. I think Washington will be motivated. They had some bad breaks and some drops that they can correct this week. And I like the Washington Redskins to win outright at home against the Green Bay Packers, RJ.
Yeah, I'm leaning to them in the Super Contest, too. We got it at 2.5 in the Super Contest, which was very disappointing because at 3, I think it was an autoplay for me. Now, I think this might scare some teams, some picks away that might have taken it anyway. So maybe I'm, you know, it's a better pick in this sense because not a lot of people are going to want to take the 2.5. But I'm not taking Aaron Rodgers until we know he's healthy. He looked pretty bad in that week 2 game, even though he put up some stats. Just didn't look great moving around. His escapability is obviously not where it needs to be when he's on that knee. And I think the teams are going to get to him. And I think he's a serious injury risk more than most quarterbacks in game, to where all of a sudden, if you take the Packers as a road favorite, now you're staring at Deshaun Kizer in the second half. And oh my God, what are we going to do now? So I don't trust the Packers at all until we know that Rodgers is healthy and he looks better than what he showed in week 2.
Yeah, I'd lean to the Packers because I tell you what, watching the Redskins, that was disappointing last week. And Packers should have won the game against the Vikings, and the Vikings are a better football team. I think they can go in here and win. I know this is desperation time for the Redskins. You're at home. You got to win this game or you fall a 1-2 with two losses at home. That's bad. I don't love the game either way, but I probably lean to the Packers a little bit.
You know what's interesting, RJ? A lot of people picking up Latavius Murray in fantasy leagues. I've seen that multiple people do that today in that Vikings-Bills game. Should I be concerned that Dalvin Cook won't play?
Yeah, he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, so there's going to be reason to be concerned. And this should be a game script where they're going to run the ball a lot in the second half, obviously, because they're 16.5-point favorites for the Bills. When you're talking about betting this game, I don't think you can take the Vikings. I know Pete kind of likes the Vikings in this game, but 16.5-point favorites, you know, just reducing it down to 16-point favorites. I dug into the numbers since 2007 when you had that great Patriots team. You had it 27 times. There's been a 16-point favorite or better. Patriots were the team 12 of those times, and they went 6-6 in those games. The 15 other times with non-Patriots teams, 4-10-1 against the spread. And you're getting a lot of great teams there against a lot of bad teams, and they just can't cover. They've all won outright. There hasn't been an outright loser at 16-point favorite since 1995. Wow. The Cowboys-Redskins game. Redskins upset the Cowboys. So I don't know how you take the Vikings in this game. I don't know how the Bills are moving the ball. Josh Allen doesn't look ready. He drops his eyes too quickly. He runs around.
Well, he drops his eyes because his line is atrocious.
And the line's not getting any better this
Correct.
Week.
Correct. So how are you taking the Bills?
That's how you take the Bills because it's going to be like 17-3,
I think it's going to be 30-7. I'm not taking him in the contest because I flat out refuse to lay 17 points. I don't like the idea of it. But the Bills will not move the football at all. And that offensive line is the worst in football. And defensively, they're not that good either. So my concern is, are the Vikings a little flat after coming off Green Bay? It's a tie or whatever. But I don't think so. I think they blow them out. I think this is ugly.
You just don't touch it. I mean, like, you can't. It's too many points. And I took the Bills in the contest last week against the Chargers, plus 7 at home, and I feel like a moron, and they're terrible. But, I mean, like, the Vikings can name their price, and if they want their price to be 15, the price will be 15, and it wouldn't be surprising at all if they gave Josh Allen a cheap touchdown late and they won 21-7 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not taking them in the contest. I think you have to go Bills or nothing, and for me it's definitely going to be nothing.
I go Vikings or nothing, and I'm not taking either one of them.
One team I probably am taking in the contest that's an underdog is the 49ers. They're 6.5-point dogs against the Chiefs. Chiefs have obviously looked outstanding on offense so far after 2 weeks. Everybody wants to be on them. We're getting good value because the look-ahead line was Chiefs -4. Reuben Foster is going to be back from suspension. Malcolm Smith is already back from injury. He's practicing this week. He wasn't on the injury report on Wednesday. That's a huge boost for the defense. They were down to like 4th, 5th, 6th linebackers in the first 2 weeks. So I think they're going to look a lot better defensively. Marquise Goodwin's practicing. You throw him into the group of receivers, that's going to stress the Kansas City secondary even more. So I like the 49ers to put up a lot of points in the game. But Patrick Mahomes has got to slow down at some point. He was my dark horse MVP before the season, but he's not going to throw 80 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Humble brag.
So nobody expects him to be as good as he's been. So we're going to see some picks at some point. It could be in this game. You could see a few mistakes happen at some point. I do like the 49ers defensive line. They could kind of get after him a little bit. The Chiefs defense isn't likely to improve this week. Eric Berry is still sidelined. Top defensive lineman Chris Jones has been banged up and not practicing. And the Chiefs have let teams back into games each of the first 2 weeks. You know, they roll out to this huge lead. Steelers erase a 21-point lead by halftime. The Chargers get 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So even if the Chiefs are up 38-20, you know, could the 49ers backdoor their way into a cover? I think so. So I really like the 49ers this week. It's probably going to end up on my card just because Jimmy Garoppolo is a good enough quarterback to lead a team to some garbage points if he needs it. So give me the 49ers.
I don't love either team in this game. I was leaning toward the 49ers in the contest, but I backed away from it. Too many people like it. It bothers me a little bit. And you're talking about backdooring it. It worries me. I do like the over a lot. I think this one's going to be a shootout. I think there's going to be a lot of points. I'd lean to the 49ers with RJ, but I don't love it like everybody else does.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem is the same reason everybody liked the Steelers last week, too. And I'm with you, Pete. I like the over. I don't think the Chiefs will stop anybody. And I think with George Kittle and hopefully Marquise Goodwin back, you can see Kyle Shanahan scheme up some deeper shots from Jimmy Garoppolo. The over is actually coming down. It's down a full point from 56.5 to 55.5. You have to wonder if people aren't, it's such a high total. So maybe people are hammering that under. We'll see. It looks like actually 67% of the bets are on the under.
And maybe I think it's at That's that same concept with you don't want to – the Vikings are the better team than the Bills, but you don't want to lay 16.5. And that's kind of what happens when you see a total of 56.5. You just don't want to lay it. So if any money comes in, it's going to be on the under, just playing the number.
Right. I mean, if I like the over too, though. I mean, look, they smashed the over with the Steelers in the third quarter. Why can't the 49ers do the same?
The Chiefs are bad on defense.
The Chiefs are terrible on defense. It doesn't seem like Eric Berry will be back this week, and if he is, he won't be completely healthy. I would probably stay away from this, but I would lean 49ers because I think the Chiefs have gotten a little too much in terms of the spread. But remember, this is their first home game.
Now, the next game I do like, and I like it a lot, and I'm taking Phillip Rivers against the Rams. I think the Rams are a major overlay here. They beat up on the Raiders, which bad football team, beat up on the Cardinals, which obviously was a bad football team, particularly last week. Some idiot took them plus the 12.5 in the contest. That would be me. But I think the Chargers stay within the number here. You look at the Rams are 29th in the league in sacks per pass play. That bothers me. And I know they keep talking about Sue and Donald and Sue and Donald. 29th in the league in sacks per pass play. That means Rivers is going to have time. He's going to be able to make some throws down the field. I think the Rams win the game, but if you're giving me a touchdown on Phillip Rivers, I'm taking it.
And a lot of those situations come with the Rams way ahead. And so it's obvious pass situations. So they know they can just pin their ears back and go, and they're still not sacking
a
lot of
players. Worries me.
When I take big dogs 6-7 points, I want the quarterback to be capable of backdooring a cover if he needs it. And Phillip Rivers obviously can do that. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. So I'm with you on that side. I probably won't put it in the contest just because the Rams feel like this team where even if the value says go with the other side and you do, then they can score 40 points at any point, and all of a sudden you lost, you know, by a few points on your cover, even if the other side's scoring points. So I'll probably stay away, but I do like your side. I like your reasoning.
It's nuts to have the Chargers go from being 7-point road favorites to being 7-point dogs in the same city that they play football in. And I realize they have no real fan base actually in Los Angeles because they're the Chargers or whatever. But if it's me, I don't know. Give me I think I would probably take the Chargers plus 7. I want to take it in the Super Contest, but I am afraid of a little backdoor action. If you look
at, I did take it in the Super Contest.
Oh, you did? Oh, you've got it in.
Oh, yeah. Wait, my picks are in.
Okay, so what have you picked anyone else besides the Chargers that we've named?
Yes, I told you that. I took the Dolphins.
Okay.
I took the Eagles.
Okay.
And I took the Chargers, and I have...
You don't have to spoil it if you got another one.
I got a couple more coming, I think, so...
Probably just one more.
No, I got one more because I got the Browns. I got one more because I got the Browns tonight.
No, you have the Browns last night. That's the beauty of the podcast is like... Yeah. When I took the Falcons on opening night, I was like, well, of course, I'm 1-0 to start, probably, I hope.
Yeah.
And I was.
Yeah, no, I got the. Okay.
Princeton isn't great at math, but we know we can count to 5. Yeah. So
I can count to 5, mofos.
Well, I can count to 0-5 for sure.
You know what else I can count to is 6. And if you like watching NFL games, you should go to NFL.com/pick6. And if you do that, you're going to get a free 7-day trial of NFL Game Pass. The only way to watch every single NFL game from the week that was. Can't watch them in the future, but you can watch them basically on Sunday night. If you don't want to watch the Sunday night game, you can go back and watch a game from 1 or 4. And if you're running out of time, maybe you're the busiest guy in show business like Pete Prisco and you need to hammer out games in 40 minutes, you can do that with a condensed version on NFL Game Pass. You can also salivate over the coach's tape. Watch Patty Mahomes dialing up some, what do they call them? Potomac bombs, I think is what people are calling them. Potomac bombs on the all 22. Watch them sail across from that deep angle. You can do that. You can live. You can pretend like you're Pete Prisco living that all 22 life. Just go to NFL.com/pick6 and get yourself a free 7-day trial of NFL Game Pass. I know you guys use it.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Spent the morning with it today.
Nice, Pete. Did you buy it breakfast?
I did, actually.
I think it's your turn, RJ.
Yeah, so now we're at the Bears. Bears are 6-point road
favorites. Don't watch the Bears on Game Pass. Soldier Field sucks on Game Pass.
Oh, it's awful. Been that way for decades.
6-point road favorites in Arizona against the Cardinals. You were talking about how bad the Cardinals look. So, of course, that's why this line is that high. There's been a little money on the Cardinals. It's come down to 5.5, I think it could go a little lower because I think this line is wildly overpriced. It seems like it's impossible to back the Cardinals after how terrible they've played. But consider this. Teams get 3 points for home field. The Rams were 12.5-point favorites at the Cardinals at home early last week before it got bet up to 13.5, 14. When you flip the home field, that would make the Rams 6.5 in Arizona. The Bears are 6 for the contest, 5.5 normal. I mean, those two teams aren't in the same league. The Rams, anybody would put them well and above the Bears. So I know that they're not, the Cardinals aren't going to score three points a game the entire year. So an offense with David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald is going to score points at some point. You know, they'll get it figured out, even if they've looked so pathetic so far. Quarterback play will get better. Maybe it'll take changing quarterbacks. But you got the Bears, on the other hand, coming off a Monday night win. They're being overvalued by the market. This line was 2.5 on the look-ahead line before the Bears managed to eke out that win with Seattle. That could have went either way before that pick six that Wilson threw, which he never does. So he throws that pick six late, and it looks like a Bears runaway when it actually wasn't. So I think the line should be closer to that 2.5 looking ahead than the six that we're getting for the contest. The Bears offenses look great at the beginning of the games when they can script stuff, but Mitchell Trubisky has fallen apart when he had to make plays. What's going to happen when they get behind in a game? I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen against the Cardinals, but I don't trust the Bears to catch up if they ever get behind in the game. So if you get something crazy, maybe a defensive touchdown for Arizona, how is this game going to go if Mitchell Trubisky has to start making plays? I think the Cardinals do have the defensive talent to stifle the Bears offense, even with how good they look early. That's one of the reasons why the totals on the game is so low. It's at 38 as of Thursday when we're taping this. The offense probably only needs to score 16 or 17 for Arizona to cover when you look at that total. And I think they could do that even against a solid Bears defense. So I'm probably not going to put the Cardinals in the contest just because with these terrible teams, it's so hard to make them one of your five contest picks. But if I'm taking the game, I'm taking the Cardinals.
I know a stupid guy that has put the Cardinals in his contest picks for the second week in a row. And for the exact reasons you just mentioned, I don't buy the Bears. It's a Monday night game, too, traveling on a short week. That's always tough to do in the NFL. The Cardinals have to show something. The fact that Steve Wilks, you know, basically said we got to get the ball to David Johnson means they'll get the ball to David Johnson, which is a good thing. And I think their defense has enough talent to keep this one close. You're going to give me 6 points at home against the team coming off a win on Monday night, and now I have to travel. I'll take it every day of the week. I know the Cardinals stink, but give me the six.
I'm going to repeat the same thing I've been saying for the last 2 weeks. Or actually, I guess the last 2 weeks. Take the Bears in the first half and take the Cardinals in the second half if you're betting the game. The Bears have come out with excellent game scripts on the first drive for Mitchell Trubisky, and each drive has led to a long touchdown drive. They are -3 in the first half. That is a lot for a road game and a team coming off that short week on a Monday night. I get it. I think the Cardinals can win, but I think the Bears in the first half is still pretty good value just because of how they played. I would take the Cardinals here. I don't think I can stomach taking them as a super contest pick, if only because of just how bad they've looked. I can, however, stomach taking the Seattle Seahawks as a super contest pick, -1.5 at home against the Cowboys. The last two primetime games you saw Russell Wilson getting the crap kicked out of him, and you saw the Dallas Cowboys kicking the crap out of Eli Manning. And so as a result, I think this line is skewed. The Seahawks started with both games on the road to begin the season. That's a rough way to begin things. They could have covered, could have lost, could have won both games. Could be 2-0 if things had broken their way against the Broncos and then the Bears, two decent defenses. And I think now they get the Cowboys, who are a little bit overrated based on how they played. I think Seattle holds serve and wins this game at home, RJ.
Yeah, we're not getting great value because it's -2 in the contest and it's -1.5 on the markets, which is where it dropped after it was 3 on the look ahead line. I think the look ahead line was closer to the value because I do think these teams are pretty similar. Seattle isn't as bad as they've shown because they've played two games on the road. Seattle, as we know, is a tough place to play. Dallas, I don't think, has the talent on offense to go there and have success. So I think Seattle's defense shows up. They're getting healthier. Bobby Wagner looks like he's going to come back. That was a huge absence for them in week 2. And then on the other side, you got Dallas. Sean Lee's banged up. Who knows if he's going to play? So you could get potentially a huge swing just on the middle linebackers in this game. So I do like the Seahawks as well. I'm thinking about putting them in the contest. They're right on the margin for me, and they might end up on my card.
I like the Seahawks as well. I just think there's too much pride for a group of guys that have been around, and there's not a ton of them left, but there are enough to show up at home in what is your home opener against the Cowboys team that I don't think is very good. I know they beat the Giants last week. They hit the big play early, got them going, but they weren't that good either. So I would lean to the Seahawks. I did not put them in the contest.
By the way, a little bit of an update. You know that FanDuel guy who wanted $82,000?
Yeah.
They're paying him.
Well, they should. He won it.
You think so?
Yeah, he won it. He saw a glitch in the thing, got in quick. He didn't know it was a glitch. He just bet it.
He didn't know. I just wasn't even watching this game. Just thought I'd throw $110 on 750-1. Well,
did you see what they offered him?
$500 and some Giants tickets. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. $500 and some Giants tickets. You might as well, those things aren't worth what the cardboard they're printed on.
Giants tickets might be worth -$500.
Now, if you would somebody said if they would have offered you an all expense paid trip to the Super Bowl with 4 on the 50 plus like 10 grand, would you have taken that?
Yeah.
Of course.
Private jet, the whole deal.
Yeah. That's worth more than $82,000 at this point.
Well, the 5 on the 4 and the 50 would be, right? They'd be worth
five,
probably.
Yeah, 4 on the 50 and a private jet and a hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And $10,000 spending money.
See me, I take the 80 and have my own party at home.
Yeah, but you got to pay taxes on the 80.
That's true.
You don't have to pay taxes on the 10.
You taxes on the 10, too.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay taxes on the prize for the Super Bowl stuff. You think he should have gotten
paid? Don't you?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think you do.
Do you think he should have gotten paid, RJ?
It's a tough situation because you're kind of opening the door when you're the books to pay. You're going to have more screw ups, you know, down the road, and you're opening the door now to pay everyone when you screw up. So
what if he had paid $80,000 to win by mistake or whatever? But if it was the other way around, he'd had to pay.
Right. Well, yeah, he's not going to.
No, he would have done it.
Once you paid the ticket, you know, you're done the ticket. If it wouldn't have came out the other side, they're obviously not paying the ticket if he loses the bet.
I know.
So I see both sides of this. You're just hard when you're the book. You're setting this precedent that anytime you can get a number. And he had to know. I agree with Brinson. Like, he definitely knew that he was getting an advantageous number he shouldn't have got. And more power to him to get that bet in. I just think when you're the books, you're opening yourself up. So I would have negotiated something, maybe look at what the bet actually was and pay him, you know, a multiplier of that, not $82,000.
No,
you know,
he put the bet in, he should be paid. They made a mistake.
In Vegas, they would pay it, but Vegas is obviously a much more well-oiled machine. This happened in Jersey. So you just run the risk of opening yourself up.
Is he still allowed on their site? That's the question.
I would guess he's not going to be showing up very often. And I also guess he's not welcome there. I also think that now you're going to see live odds be a lot slower. Like, they're not going to be slapping up live odds every 3 seconds because it's not worth the risk. I mean, that's $83,000 that you could have earned. By the way, you think you got some live odds on the Patriots -7 against the Lions on Sunday night? I bet you can. You have to bet the Patriots here. I'm sorry. It's a no-brainer. They're on the road, laying 7. It's insane, but they're coming off an ugly beat them down against a good Jacksonville Jaguars team. And now Bill Belichick gets to take it out on the whipping boy, Matt Patricia. I will not be taking this as a super contest pick, but if I did, it would be the Patriots.
Yeah, I like the Patriots a little bit. I don't love them. You know, the Lions look awful. The Patriots coming off a loss. Bill Belichick against his former coaches. He's always done very well against them. I would lean to the Patriots. I'm surprised the number's not a little more. They're banged up a little bit, but I'm surprised that wasn't like 8.5, 9.
I think the line's a little too high just because there's that backdoor potential with Matt Stafford. We saw it last week. You know, they were down, 17 points, and they scored 2 late touchdowns.
Should have won the game. They had a pick 6.
Yeah, two late touchdowns covering the contest, almost win the game. So I do think it's a little high. I can see reasons for both sides. I don't want to go against Bill Belichick coming off a loss. You know, I think they could destroy the Lions, and even if you get some garbage time points, that could be like 45-24 as opposed to 45-3. So I'm probably just staying away from this game. If I had to pick it, I'd probably lean toward New England with you guys.
By the way, the Patriots, per our friends at Odd Shark and Joe Osborne, 21-6 against the spread off a double-digit loss since 2000.
Yeah, there's a lot of history on their side that game. Yeah. All right,
Patriots always have like great numbers against the spread. Like, no matter what split you pull out, they're going to have great numbers.
That's 78%, though.
It's pretty good. Steelers and Bucks. Steelers laying 1. I looked at this game and was considering the Bucks in the game, but then I backed away from it. I'm like, I am not possibly going with Ryan Fitzpatrick to have another one of those days, am I? I just don't believe in the guy. I know he's been fantastic the first 2 weeks. I do like the Bucks a little bit because I think the Steelers secondary, I know they're going to simplify things this week because they had so many busts. It doesn't matter. The players aren't very good back there. This could go up and down the field all day. I probably lean to the Bucks. I don't love them, though.
Yeah, I'm completely staying away from this game in terms of contest. I could see anything happening in this game. If you want to put the stock into what we've seen on the field in 2 weeks with these teams, then I think you have to go Bucks. If you want to put stock into what we think we're going to see over the next 15 weeks, go Steelers. They need this game a lot more than the Bucks, obviously. At 0-1-1, Bengals looking solid. Steelers, I think, come out, treat this as a must-win, go down to Tampa, win the game. Maybe it's an ugly game. Maybe it's a little
over, though.
I think it might be a little bit more low scoring than we think.
They can't cover anyway.
Tampa's getting a little more healthier on defense. Brent Grimes supposed to come back. Vita Vea might make his debut in this game. So I would probably lean to the under just because I know that the total is so high. I don't know exactly what it is now, but it's got to be in the 50s.
There's four totals in the 50s this week.
Yeah, I think part of that is the new roughing rules and the quarterback rules, keeping them healthy. It's extending drives. I don't know that we're going to see that completely throughout the whole year. I don't know that we're going to set scoring records for the NFL, and that's kind of what these totals imply. So maybe I'm still looking unders a little bit with these high totals.
No, I'll take the over, and I will take the Buccaneers, even though I don't really feel good about it. Fitzpatrick's gonna mess himself at some point, right? Like it's gonna
At some point he's gonna become Ryan Fitzpatrick.
RJ, how much did I just pay for Ryan Fitzpatrick in our fantasy in our League of Leagues fantasy league? Did you see it?
25, I think, 30, out of 100.
33 out of 100. $33.
I mean, my quarterbacks are pretty bad. I have Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky are my two quarterbacks, and I only put in a $5 bid.
By the way, I want to say I'm 2-0 in FFT, and did you see how I beat Adam Azer on Monday night?
Yes.
Disley touchdown.
But, you know, I beat George Maselli with the Disley touchdown, too. I had Russell Wilson. So we both moved to 2-0.
And then I abused you in our other league.
You did abuse me. You're good. You got a good little team going in fantasy, Pete.
I won a game on that touchdown, too. I beat Luke Rogers in our Dynasty League.
Did you really?
I was down, I think, 1.5, 2 points with Russell Wilson going. That touchdown put me over the edge. Yeah. So I won on that play, too. Yeah.
Wow, really proud of you guys for your great fantasy wins. Everybody cares. Thanks for doing the podcast, as always. We will talk next week. Let's go chat with Nick Kostos and figure out exactly what we're going to bet on every single game this week. Now we're doing the speed round. Nick Kostos in the house in Fort Lauderdale, where he will be hosting CBS Sports HQ's Sportsline all weekend. I've been on the show this week, actually, but not with Nick. I don't get the invite for the A-team. That's fine. Still like doing it. Tommy Tran. Maybe Tommy Tran is the A-team. Anyway, so you can watch Sportsline at what times, Nick?
I'm going to leave that part alone, the A-team part alone. I would love to have you on the show anytime you can do it, Will. Weekdays, we are live from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, Sunday, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, as we get you set to play some wagers, winning picks for college, for the NFL. The show is tremendous, plus daily fantasy, season-long fantasy. In all seriousness, if you want to win your pick pools, you want to put a couple wagers in, a couple investments, you want to win some daily fantasy, this is the show that you absolutely have to watch. You take it from me. A wagerer, an investor in sports, a daily fantasy player, season-long fantasy player. We have the content that you need to win. So make sure you tune in. Weekdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, Sunday, 12 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ.
And you can see CBS Sports HQ on any smart device or on cbssports.com/live. I will be tuning in because, if I may be frank, Nick, as you pointed out on Twitter, I got my balls handed to me last week. 0-5. You know what happens when your dog gets bit by a snake, your house is being attacked by a hurricane, your air conditioning goes out, and generally you can't get anything, like everything's coming against you in life? You should fade yourself. I should have faded myself.
You should have. Since your life basically got faded last week.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact, by the way, that your dog got bit by a snake and survived means that your dog is officially the coolest dog.
Yeah, right. Doesn't that change how you feel about George? Now he's not like some little punk.
I never really liked Lockanfora's dog, Copper, but now I definitely like George better than Copper. Hate Copper. That out there.
No, that's fine. You can hate Copper all you want. Let's get to some stuff we also like that's not named George that's going to help you win money. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run in the same order, game by game, quick hitters, what we like from these games, starting with Colts and Eagles. And so, we're doing this, we're testing this for the new time, and I know I'm stumbling here through it, but Nick and I are going to pick things we like, whether it's DFS, best bet for the Super Contest, first half, under, total, you know, whatever, over, under, team total, whatever it is, the best thing for you to focus in on from each game. Colts, Eagles, you go, Nick.
Well, I want to start from the daily perspective and also season long. Like, I've got Carson Wentz in a couple leagues. This is not the weekend that you want to start Carson Wentz. There's just way too much unknown. Still no Alshon Jeffrey. Mike Wallace is hurt now. Ajayi's been banged up. And I know Ajayi played last week, but he's still been banged up. And I like Corey Clement. I feel like there's only two guys that you can play in daily this week from the Eagles, and it's Zach Ertz and Corey Clement. I mean, Ertz is obviously getting a ton of targets now. We'll see what happens with Aguilar and Jordan Matthews. Aguilar may be fine for this week, but I am worried about Aguilar moving forward now. If Matthews is going to be in the slot, I think that mitigates some of Nelson Aguilar's value. And again, I would not play Carson Wentz this week in season. I'm definitely fading him in daily. And aside from Ertz and Clement, I'm fading this entire offense. Now, the line for the game, I think, is very tricky. Eagles -6, -6.5. It feels like you really want to bet the Philadelphia Eagles right at home against the Indianapolis Colts. The way I think this will play out, Indy keeps it close in the first half. Wentz gets his sea legs underneath him in the second half. Eagles win the game. The angle I'm looking at, though, is the Colts first half +3.5. And I do think that'll come down closer to Sunday to +3. So if you can get that now as we record this Thursday afternoon, I like the Colts first half +3.5.
Colts have been playing really well. I am leaning towards taking the Colts as a super contest pick. Don't know yet. We're recording this on Thursday. We'll know on Friday. Eagles injury report does not look good for Philadelphia. I rewatched that Colts-Redskins game. The Colts are legit. Their defense is legit, and their offensive line, Quentin Nelson, is a bad mofo. He's smashing people. I like the Colts a lot in this spot. What about the Panthers and Bengals? This is an obnoxious, like, I think Vegas is like, we don't know. Panthers -3 versus the Bengals. I'll tell you this. If you want to pay up for a guy that might not be widely used, although he had a bunch of catches last week, so maybe he is, Christian McCaffrey. The Bengals are 23rd in DVOA against pass-catching running backs. Alex Collins and Javorius Allen combined for 8 catches and 91 yards last year on Thursday night. I think Christian McCaffrey is a guy that, you know, I mean, he didn't have a ton of yardage, so people might fade him, but I could see him having a nice game.
No, and Nyheim Hines also in week 1.
Correct.
For the Indianapolis Colts against this Bengals defense here. For me in this game, and I will pat myself on the back while you went 0-5 in the contest last week and pretty much everyone had a bad week, I actually went 3-2. And if not for people talking me into the Houston Texans, I would have gone 4-1 because I would have faded the New York Football Giants. So I am 7-3, a robust 7-3 through 2 weeks. So the Bengals are one of the plays I'm considering for the contest. And in terms of wagers, I think the Bengals are going to win the game outright on the money line right now, +135. Love the Bengals +3 because I think they have a chance to win the game. And if Carolina does win, I don't think it's going to be by 3 more points. So I think the worst case scenario with Bengals +3 is a push. And I would back that up also with a smaller bet on the Bengals, a smaller wager, I should say, on the Bengals on the money line, +135. And as far as DFS is concerned, I think, you know, AJ Green is obviously a play. Tyler Boyd is kind of a sneaky option now, and he's kind of overtaken John Ross for that overtaken. I guess Ross never was there in the first place.
Sorry for your loss, by the way.
You know, I am starting John Ross in one league this week because I do think that Ross, that big play is coming.
Panthers like secondary is not good either. Panthers
and he's not going to give you the consistent production week in and week out, but that bomb is coming from John Ross, and it could very well be this Sunday. And other DFS, one sneaky play that I like in this game is Mark Walton, the former Miami Hurricane running back. He's now the #2 behind Giovanni Bernard, and Gio's never been a workhorse throughout his career. And I think Walton at this point in their respective careers, I think Mark Walton's better than Giovanni Bernard. And Walton could find himself after this game, maybe even during this game, as Cincinnati's primary ball carrier in the absence of Joe Mixon. Mark Walton right now, only 3,500. I mean, it's not going to change, but Mark Walton, 3,500 on DraftKings. I think you could do a lot worse if you need a low-cost option at running back or in flex.
Only to bolster your case, I don't know if you know this, but Giovanni Bernard on the injury report Wednesday with a knee injury, which means it's unlikely, should the Bengals be up trying to bleed out the game, that they're going to feed Gio 40 times. Like, Mark Walton would be the guy. Like that pick there. I actually have written down for Jaguars -9.5 versus Titans, stay away. I don't like anything here, and I don't care. That's fine. You don't have to take a bet on every single game.
I won't bet on this game yet. I may bet on this game on like Sunday. And I think the problem with the contest is, or for your pick 'em pools, if you have to lock it in by Friday, we may not know who Tennessee's starting quarterback is going to be until Sunday morning, yep. Like with the Mariota thing with his nerve. If Mariota plays, I think Tennessee is going to cover this number. And I'll bet on Tennessee if the news gets announced on Saturday or Sunday. If it's 9.5 or close to 10, maybe you buy a half point and get it to 10. I wouldn't recommend it, but you could do that. If it's Blaine Gabbert, it's a total non-starter. But this is a prime letdown spot for the Jacksonville Jaguars coming off the emotional win last week over the Patriots. And look, I crushed the Titans last week and that coaching staff after the week 1 loss in Miami to the Dolphins. I thought they coached a hell of a game last week in beating the Houston Texans. As far as daily fantasy is concerned and season long, I think Derrick Henry is actually going to score in this game, whether Gabbert plays or Mariota plays. He's only 4,400. That touchdown regression is due for him, and I think he will get into the end zone. Again, only 4,400 Derrick Henry on DraftKings. I like him better in daily than season. If you've got better options in season, I would roll with those. But as far as DFS is concerned, I like Derrick Henry as that contrarian play. And you got to love Leonard Fournette. And he's going to play in this game, practice both Wednesday and Thursday. He should be a big game. Home team, good defense, big favorite, bleed the clock out. Love Leonard Fournette. Deion Lewis, I think, is also a good play potentially in daily. This should be check down city for the Tennessee Titans. Corey Davis, very hard to trust. He gets a lot of targets, but up against the secondary, if it's Blaine Gabbert, not good. Taywan Taylor, though, and you saw him emerge last week for the Titans, 3,600 on DraftKings. And he's got the speed to be able to break a big play here. Now, I don't know if I would recommend playing him, but if you need someone at a low cost, I think Taywan Taylor, you could do worse.
I like how neck deep you are in daily fantasy. Like, have you found yourself drifting more towards daily fantasy than not gambling, but like just like from a like workload perspective, more daily fantasy?
It's really funny. You know, I'm off Tuesday and Wednesday and I'm staying with family right now for reasons that we'll get into at some point in the next few weeks here, but I'm not in my apartment anymore. And, they always say to me, like, I'm on my computer, like 3 hours on Tuesday and Wednesday. And they're like, you're not working these days. What are you doing? And I go, yeah, first off, A, I am working, and B, I would be doing this even if this weren't my job. Profoundly lucky and grateful to have this job because I just love this stuff. So it's not work for me.
I mean, with your sports line and like HQ, like workload, do you like what percentage do you think you're at from gambling versus DFS, I guess is what I'm asking.
I think that I'm probably more in, you know, I would say it's probably like 55% gambling and 45% fantasy for me.
Okay. There you go. I like that.
But it's 100% of both though, right. If that makes sense.
Yes. No, it makes they go hand in hand. Falcons -3 at home against the Saints. I'm gonna tell you right now, I like the Saints to win and I like the Saints to cover, and I will take the Saints +3 and I will almost certainly do it in the super contest. The Falcons are thrashed right now on injuries. I mean, they keep putting a new offensive lineman on injured reserve every day. It's like a ritualistic habit or something like that. Deion Jones is out. I think Alvin Kamara is a guy that could blow up, but that's not news. I mean, they don't have the guys who can cover him. Look at the numbers that Christian McCaffrey put up. And I think we all wrote off Drew Brees last year after he didn't. Well, nobody wrote him off, but I'm saying like everybody's like, well, the Saints are going to run the ball. Drew Brees is no longer great in fantasy. Well, the Saints aren't running the ball quite as well, and Drew Brees is chucking it everywhere.
At least until Mark Ingram comes back in week 5. But for now, week 3, I'll be quick here. Saints +3, probably a contest play for yours truly. And if you like the Saints, you're listening to this on Friday, I think this number will close below 3 points. Atlanta -2.5, Atlanta -2. So if you like the Saints, get that in now +3 points. And I like the Saints on the money line as well. I'm with you. This will probably be a contest play for me. The money line right now for New Orleans +140. That is juicy.
It is juicy. Ravens -5.5 versus the Broncos. I think the Ravens DST is a sneaky play here in both daily fantasy and season long stuff. I mean, I don't know if they're out there. I saw somebody in one of my leagues dropped them, so I'm putting in a waiver claim for them to grab them. Denver's been okay on offense. Denver might be, could be a little bit, maybe a little bit of a mirage here. Denver's 2-0. I like the Ravens -5.5, but I'm a little worried that everybody likes the Ravens -5.5.
Well, I don't know that everyone likes them 5.5. I like them 5.5 here. And this conjures up memories, this matchup of Jacoby Jones, obviously, and Raheem Moore. I apologize to the Broncos fans for that reference. I'm fading every Bronco with the exception of Phillip Lindsay in this game, because I think Lindsay's going to get his numbers no matter what out of the backfield. But like you, I'm selling high on this 2-0 Broncos team that won 2 coin flip games against bad teams. I'm buying low on a Ravens team that didn't look great in the first half last week in primetime against the Bengals, but got their act together in the second half. This is a Ravens or nothing play for me here in this game.
I agree. Texans -6.5 versus the Giants. I wrote sit Saquon Barkley ? I'm also a little worried about Deshaun Watson. No, you can't sit him. But I mean, I don't know. I just think that the Texans are good against the run. They have a really good defensive line. The Giants' offensive game plan has been crapola so far, especially with Saquon Barkley. They're not putting him in favorable spots. I don't know that they can put him in favorable spots because they're terrible. I think too many people are going to be on the Texans in this spot for me to take him as a super contest pick, however.
Well, I'll throw this out there about Saquon. As bad as the Giants' offense is, and it's really bad, it's like Pat Shurmur is playing in like a high stakes PPR league, and obviously Saquon's his running back. 14 catches, 80 yards. I mean, it's just like you can't make this stuff up. Saquon's going to get his numbers no matter what. Like, he's locked in. Like, he's going to do great in daily, and he's high priced for it. You obviously can't sit him in season. I think his bet, no matter how bad the Giants are, Saquon, you can start every week and feel good about it, because it's like Gettleman and Shurmur are like, well, we took this running back #2 overall. We're morons for it. But to justify that stupid pick, we're going to give him the ball 50 times a game, even when we've got Odell Beckham on the field. Obviously dumb. Now, as far as the game concerned, I think it's got a chance to get a little loose. You know, Eli Manning, historically, with his back against the wall, generally comes out and plays pretty well. And I look at this game kind of like that Sunday night game they played last year against the Broncos. And it's a little different because they had more losses at that point. But everyone was on the one side of that game, and the Giants came out and actually won that game outright last year, Sunday night in Denver. I don't think the Giants are going to win this game. I think the Texans are going to win, but I think it's a field goal game. And I think this is actually going to be one of the better games of the week. It's an elimination game, essentially, here. So I really like the Giants against the spread. I would love them if Olivier Vernon played. It doesn't look like he's going to. That really hurts them a lot. But I think you start your stars in this game with confidence. Beckham, Barkley, Fuller, Hopkins, and Watson. And Eli's only 5,200.
Stop.
Back against the wall. I'm going to make the case. I may. You know what? I will have an Eli Beckham stack in at least a couple daily lineups this weekend. And I like the over 42 points in this game. Mm. And the team totals haven't been released yet for Sunday, but I'll probably take the Giants team total over whatever it is on Sunday.
Man, I got to tell you, there's nothing worse in life.
I can't wait to sweat this game on Sunday. I'm back invested with my favorite team, and they're going to screw me, and it's going to be great.
There's nothing worse in life. I'm not even kidding. Than like, you're sitting there, and like, you've lost all your bets. I mean, actual money bets. Like, I lost them all. Like, everything went sideways for me. I'm 0-4 in the contest, and like, I get an alert on my phone. It's like Nick Costas has tweeted, and it's like, sad at Will Brinson, 0-4 in the contest with even sadder Giants left to come. Loser! Exclamation point. I'm like, oh my God, I took the Giants.
I tried to tell you.
You tried to tell me.
I tried to tell everyone the Giants were terrible before the year. No one wanted to listen. Jamie Eisenberg picked them to win the NFC East. I mean, one of the worst picks of all time.
Sad! Boo! Sad.
Exclamation point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Dolphins -3 versus Raiders. I'm going to tell you, I got not a bold one. I don't think you should play Amari Cooper this week. He broke out and had a really good week two game against the Broncos in a tough cornerback matchup. Xavier Howard's locking everybody down, and they're going to stick Xavier Howard on Amari Cooper. I would sit him if you have the opportunity and certainly would not play him in DFS. This is one of those where people buy into the idea that, oh, here comes an Amari breakout, and then they get burnt with a fade when they should have faded him in week three.
And I like Minka Fitzpatrick a lot, too. Mm. And he's been awesome through a couple weeks, their first-round pick out of Alabama. This is kind of difficult here because as I'm going through this, I actually kind of like Derek Carr, again, like the same way I like Eli as a contrarian DFS play this week. He's only 5,400 on DraftKings, but I don't know who to stack him with. I mean, I guess maybe it would be Jared Cook, but I mean, I don't want to stack him with Amari Cooper. I don't want to stack him with Jordy Nelson. I don't want to stack him with Seth Robertson. You can't stack him with Martavis Bryant. So Carr went 29-32 last week and all those targets to Amari Cooper. I think he'll be efficient. I think he'll toss a couple touchdown passes here. I just don't know who they're going to go to. But Raiders plus the 3 points. Raiders on the money line, plus 150. Dolphins a bit of a mirage right now at 2-0. Raiders with a hard luck loss on Sunday against the Broncos. They should have won that game. I think the Raiders, and I know West Coast to East Coast early start, I think the Raiders win this game.
Wow.
And I think the Raiders on the money line, plus 150. And I may take them in the contest getting the three.
I would take the Dolphins against the spread if I was taking something, but I will not be betting on this particular game. I will be betting, however, on the Washington Redskins, my Washington Redskins, your Washington Redskins, plus 2.5 at home. And we actually have a consensus play in terms of DFS and fantasy this week. I found this before you and I started emailing about it, but I was looking at we were trying to make in a deeper 14-team, really deep league. I was trying to make a decision on a wide receiver situation. And Josh Doctson was at least on the chopping block for somebody we might cut. But I've been way back and watched the game. He actually had a pretty good game numbers-wise, like 40 yards, I think.
He's on the field constantly.
Over 89%.
He almost never comes off the field.
89% of their snaps in their first two games. Plus, and he had a really close, tough catch down the field that could have been like a 30-yard catch, and he dropped it a little bit. Alex Smith.
That's kind of like the story of his career, though.
Right.
It sucks so far.
But the Packers are coughing up points to wide receivers. I like Josh Doctson this week. No one will be on him. If he's
you know, I tweeted that the other day. I love Josh Doctson, too. I think he scores on Sunday.
I'm playing
him in DFS this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, well, you and I will be the only people on him. People are not going to be on him.
3,700 this week and on DraftKings is Josh Doctson. I think the Redskins are going to win this game. I hate the fact that I'm not getting three in the contest. The Lions plus 2.5. I'm still going to take it, and I'm gonna bet on it. Take the points, but again, like I'm going to bet on the money line in this game. I think the Redskins are better than people think. Decent opportunity to buy low after losing to the Colts. That was kind of inexplicable and a little worrisome here, but I think the Redskins are going to bounce back. Good game for Alex Smith. Aaron Rodgers clearly not 100%. I think the Redskins win. I like the Redskins to cover, and I think Josh Doctson going to score on Sunday.
Bills Vikings is a stay away for me, except obviously you start all of your Vikings in fantasy. It's a sneaky guy to keep an eye on for DFS, Latavius Murray, because if the Vikings are up, 14-0 in the first quarter, I could see them resting Dalvin Cook, who's been a little banged up. They said he was dealing with cramps, but I think it was a hamstring. Would not be surprised to see Latavius Murray get the lion's share of rushes for the Vikings here.
Now, in the contest, Minnesota's -16.5. So you're not getting the full 17. But it'll be 17 on Sunday, like, if you want to bet on it. And
No. Look,
oh, no, I'm taking Buffalo if it's 17
points. But you're not betting on Buffalo.
I will.
Not in the Super Contest.
No, I mean, because, no, but if it's 17 and a half or 17, I'm taking Buffalo 100%. On principle.
They're the 2017 Browns. Don't do it.
They will win a game this year. They will not go
No, that's fine, but they're just not going to cover. Like, they're going to be like, there's obvious value here. They're going to lose by 21. Just don't cover.
Maybe. At a principle, though, I'm taking the Bills. Okay. I'm saying that right now. Any line that's 17 points in the National Football League, I will take the underdog blindly. I don't even care who's playing in the game. That might be stupid, but that's how I feel. As far as Bills and daily fantasy, I'm going to give you one name here that a guy who could do pretty well is if LeSean McCoy sits out. Chris Ivory is obviously more of a in-between-the-tackles guy. Marcus Murphy is a guy that can catch some passes. Look, I'm serious you're scouring for deep value here. Let's assume, right, that Josh Allen's going to have guys in his face all day. Because Josh Allen's going to have guys in his face all day, what's he going to do? He's going to check the football down. If there's no LeSean McCoy, he ain't checking down to Chris Ivory. Marcus Murphy is going to be the guy getting those catches. Take a look at Marcus Murphy.
That is a deep call, and I love it. Chargers-Rams. Chargers are getting 7. I will take the 7. I think. I don't know. I might have put it into my picks originally at Rams minus 7. But I want the Chargers here. I think they'll keep it close, even though they will probably almost assuredly ultimately lose because that's what the Chargers do in September. But they'll keep it close enough and lose by 3 in a field goal or something like that.
Oh, I think the Rams are going to blow them out.
Might happen. Rams
haven't. I think they're going to blow them out.
Who of the Rams? I got to tell you, Nick, when you look at the National Football League, who have the Rams played?
Who cares? Like they've done what they've supposed to do.
They've blown out
both bad teams that they played. They were very impressive. No, Joey Bosa is a massive deal and an even bigger deal in this game. This is just a tremendous coaching mismatch, in my opinion, with Anthony Lynn against Sean McVay and those respective coaching staffs. I'm not going to take it in the contest, but I will lay the points with the Rams, and I do think it'll be a double digit win. And Brandon Cooks, I think, will continue to dominate. And I think it's pretty clear that most fantasy analysts and experts, and this is not to single anybody out, I think that the vast majority of people, we had Cooks rated too low.
Jamie Eisenberg.
No, I mean, what, Jamie's not the, I mean, pretty much everybody.
No. You know what? I don't even mind blasting them. We can put all three, Jamie, Heath, and Dave, on blast on here because you know what? Every offseason draft, I would take Brandon Cooks and be like, oh, Brandon. They had me on Fantasy Football Today. Great podcast. You should totally subscribe to it. They had me call in while I was driving over to like Durham to take my son to a baseball game and explain why I took Brandon Cooks early in a draft. And I kept saying stuff. They're like, no, he's an idiot. No, blast them. Put him on blast.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then yeah, they were very wrong. We drafted Brandon Cooks way too low. Yeah, and if you got him in like the fifth round, you should be thanking your lucky stars because he, besides for Gurley, obviously, is the star of that offense. And they are unfurling multiple deep shots per game at Brandon Cooks.
If you can, is it still, are we at the point where you can still buy low on him at all? Or is he?
No.
Has that ship sailed? I guess.
No way.
$1.59. Well, because I don't know, did we talk about this after? Probably not, because after in week one, he had 87 catches on 8 targets, but he had another 87 yards in pass interference DPI penalties. He should have been at like 190 yards. He got to 159. They didn't give him.
I mean, you can try, but I feel like if you're in like a league with people that even have a modicum of intelligence or know what they're doing, you ain't going to be able to buy low on Brandon.
He's averaging 20 yards per catch.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Like he's freaking tremendous. And they're using him correctly.
And
it's great.
And he's a first round pedigree. With like one of the fastest combine 40 times in NFL history.
And they paid him and they're going to feature him. They like paid him. He's tremendous.
And he also has 1,000-yard seasons with both the Saints and the Patriots who inexplicably traded him. So, yes, don't get Brandon Cooks if you can afford to. You're right. If he has, for whatever reason, a bad game this week, try and get him. Go out and get him.
He's not going to have a bad game.
He's not. Bears, Cardinals. Bears might have a bad game.
You skipped Niners, Chiefs, by the way, on our list.
Did I really? Sorry. Yeah. I'm everywhere.
I just want to make sure that we get it.
Niners, Chiefs, I like the over here, but it needs to come back down before I can take anything in that.
Oh, I don't even care. Like, it's 55.5 at this point. It's actually come down from 56.5. It means nothing to me. It's going over. And I know that people are a little concerned about Jimmy Garoppolo and his performance through the first 2 weeks. I'm not.
Jimmy G, Marquise Goodwin, DFS stack is a delightful move this week.
Yeah, I would probably feel more comfortable with Goodwin with the quad stacking Jimmy G with Kittle. But Jimmy G, I think, is probably my favorite daily play this week. Like, Kittle has left so many points on the board in weeks 1 and 2.
Yep.
Could have 200 yards in week 1 in the loss in Minnesota. Left points on the board last week in the game against the Lions. I think Kittle's going to have a monster game here. This Chiefs defense is still really bad, even if Eric Berry does suit up here. I'm probably going to take Niners plus 6.5 in the contest. I'll bet it as well. And I think it goes over here. Mahomes is going to regress a little bit just because he's not going to throw 90 touchdowns. So I think the Niners will keep this close.
This is not the week he regresses. He'll regress in week 4. By the way, Trey Burton or George Kittle in fantasy? You go George Kittle, right?
It's not even close.
All right. Well, I just had that
it
option.
It is not even close.
It's not even close. Let's go with Kittle. There we go. I love it.
Not even close.
And by the way, I'll take the Niners against the spread especially if it's a touchdown. I think they'll keep it close enough in a shootout. The Chiefs are not stopping anybody. And Kyle Shanahan, this is picture perfect for him to scheme some stuff up. Bears, Cardinals, Bears. Mitchell Trubisky is laying 6 on the road. Get out of here.
No, you can't do it. It's a dumpster fire game. The only people in daily I would play by people, I mean, the only thing I would play in daily would be the Bears defense, special teams. I do like the Cardinals to cover in this game, though, and make this short and sweet. Mitch Trubisky and the Bears should not be close to a touchdown favorite on the road against any team in the NFL. I'm going to bet Arizona for sure, +6, +6.5. They may be one of my contest picks here, whether it's Bradford, Josh Rosen, Mike Glennon. I don't care. 6, 6.5, too much for the Bears to be favored. You have to take the Cardinals.
I actually think that David Johnson is a really interesting contrarian DFS play this week because nobody's going
to
start him.
They have to prove that they know how to use him.
Right, but you got to get him. They said they're going to feed him out. They got to line him up. This is a Mike McCoy. You're going to get fired if you don't bust out some tricks.
Well, I mean, they had all offseason to figure it out, and they came out and didn't get it done in weeks 1 or week. So maybe it'll happen. I'm not betting that it's going to happen this week, though. You could very well be right. And I'm not saying that I got all the answers and you're wrong. I just don't feel confident enough in myself to do it.
I'm not saying that out loud, but.
Well, I mean, you kind of did.
Right. No, I'm saying you kind of did. Like, you're like, I'm not saying out loud that you're wrong and I have all the answers.
I mean, you could easily be right. I'm just not willing to bet on it yet. I think it's a losing bet in terms of the percentages right now, but it could still hit.
It could still hit. Seahawks -2 at home against the Cowboys. I love the Seahawks here. I think everybody is going to sell the Seahawks and buy the Cowboys based. I'm surprised that the line is where it is based on what we saw in the last two primetime games. It's exactly like in week 1. When you see that happen in the primetime games, people are going to hammer the team, the public team, the Cowboys, over the Seahawks. Seahawks are very good with Pete Carroll at home. This is a absolute contest play for me, Seahawks -2.
This is a stay away for me, and it's worth noting the Cowboys opened as a short favorite, and money pushed the Seahawks to where they're at now, around -2. You're right. The reasoning, your rationale towards taking Seattle is spot on.
But Seattle is terrible.
I can't get past the Seahawks team. I just think that they're awful, and I think Dallas is pretty good. Their upside is not to win the Super Bowl. But I think they could easily win. They could win 9 or 10 games. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. That front 7 is pretty good.
Jalen
Smith is running like he did at Notre Dame. Dak Prescott was efficient on Sunday night. This is a stay away game for me. And this could burn me in daily because I feel like you could probably stack Russ with like Tyler Lockett and do pretty well. But I'm staying away from this game. My head says the Cowboys, but I also acknowledge what you're saying with the Seahawks. So I will stay away from this game almost completely.
Patriots -7 hosting the Lions. This is nothing wrong with stacking Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski in this game. Sunday night game.
If you can play, do the Sunday where you can do the Sunday nights or the showdowns here. I would probably, if you play a Sunday showdown and you can, you could play both quarterbacks, but I like Matthew Stafford maybe even better than Tom Brady in this game. The Patriots are going to score a ton of points. Stafford's really good, and I know he's let down fantasy owners, at least in week 1, was better in week 2. I think he's going to have a monster game in week 3. I don't think they're going to win the game, and I think both teams are going to score a ton of points here, and I really like Sony Michel a lot as an underrated daily play. At some point, he's going to get unleashed here. I would take Detroit against the spread if it got up to 7.5 by kickoff. Otherwise, I'm not touching the game. It seems like it's a great spot to take the dog that's 0-2, that people, no one thinks they can win. But again, it's the Patriots, and it's a coaching mismatch. Belichick against one of his former proteges here. So I don't feel great about the Lions. I'll only take it at 7, 7.5. But I do think this Lions passing game, Matt Stafford, I think they're going to put up big numbers on Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And by the way, Stafford actually wouldn't have had terrible numbers against the Jets in week 1 had he not been pulled out early in the fourth quarter and had Marvin Jones reeled in 2 long touchdown catches that he should have and could have
caught. Or if he hadn't thrown 4 interceptions.
Right. Yeah, but even with the 4 picks, you know, I'm just saying, he could have had a big number that night. The final game of the week. Mr. Costos is. I get lost. I blacked
Monday
out.
Monday night, Steelers box.
No, I know what it is. I'm just saying I blacked out and got lost. Buccaneers +1 at home against the Steelers. you buying or selling the Fitzmagic? I think I'm starting Fitzpatrick. I paid $33 for him in Fab today. How do you feel about that?
I'm selling Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. At some point, like, we've seen this his entire career, like, he's not a 16-game quarterback. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. The guy has made a boatload of money doing this throughout his career. But at some point, he's going to turn back into a pumpkin. I think it happens on Monday night against the Steelers, because I think at some point, the Steelers are going to snap out of it. Pittsburgh's 0-2 against the spread. I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win the game. And I think at some point, probably sooner than a lot of people think, Jameis Winston's going to be starting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like Pittsburgh to win this game. I think Pittsburgh's going to score a lot of points. And Peyton Barber, I also think, reaches the end zone on Monday night. For those of you playing the Monday night DFS, Barber getting a ton of usage, been unlucky in terms of the touchdowns. So I am still starting Peyton Barber in some season leagues, despite the first 2 weeks kind of being crappy.
I'll take the over in this game too. I know it's high at like 53, but it's going to be a shootout. Both teams should be ready to score. Pittsburgh can't stop anybody. They haven't stopped anybody in almost a full calendar.
I don't know why, but I feel like the Steelers' defense might be a decent contrarian play on Monday night. A decent, you know, I don't know why, but I do. I have a feeling that Pittsburgh is going to come out, and I think they're going to play a complete game on Sunday, on Monday night, rather.
This is one of those reverse line movements. All the bets are on Tampa Bay, and all the money is, or the money's on Pittsburgh. So it is a major red flag that everything's a major red flag in this one. I will acquiesce to that. It reeks of Buccaneers get blown out at home, but I still think it's going to be a shootout. All right. Follow him at The Costas on Twitter. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ's Sportsline. Is it? Give me the times again. I'm 11 a.m.
It actually could not be easier.
11 a.m. and noon? Is that
Monday,
right?
Monday through Friday. Six. Every show's at 6. Yeah. Like, even you can comprehend this.
I'm on the show. This past week, yes. I was on the show.
What time do college games kick off?
Noon. So an hour before.
Okay. So we're on an hour before that. And what time do NFL games kick off on Sunday?
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. I knew that.
So we're on at noon. Yes, right, exactly. So the weekend shows are obviously the most fun, but we have a lot of fun during the week as well. I would strongly recommend the shows that I'm on, because I'm on them, of course. Yes, of course. Mondays and Thursdays, in addition to Friday, because we give you all the stuff for the Monday and Thursday night football games. And our experts are unbelievable. Jamie Eisenberg on with the daily fantasy plays, season-long stuff as well. Pete Prisco, one of the sharpest minds in the NFL business, watches a ton of film. Pete That's gives true. His breakdown of games as well. Plus, Todd Furman, our Vegas insider, the Wizard of Odds, Kenny White, Kelly Stewart, and the Hammer, Hank Goldberg, been winning you money for decades. So our team of experts is unbelievable. Their information is second to none. If you want to win fantasy, season-long, daily fantasy, you want to win your investments, your wagers, come an NFL Sunday, a college football Saturday, watch CBS Sports HQ Sportsline, hosted by yours truly.
Love it. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, sir.